eastward. He measured 1,000 cubits and he brought me through the waters. And the waters were to my ankles. And again, he measured 1,000 and he brought me through the waters. And the waters were to my knees. And again, he measured 1,000 and he brought me through. And the waters were to my loins. And afterwards, he measured 1,000 and it was a river that could not be passed over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. Psalms 42 and 7 says, deep calleth unto deep. That there are some people in this church who, that God wants to call you to a deeper place than where you are right now. That there are some people in this church that you've got your talents and your abilities and you've got all of your stuff, but the flow says, I've got something more for you. I've got something that I want to take you. I want to take you into something deeper. I want to take you into something that is real. I want to take you into something that nobody can take away from you. I want to take you into something that is real, that it's not show, it's not huff, it's not puff. It's something real and it's deep. And it's His flow. Lord Jesus, that You would speak to us today, oh God, that You would anoint me and use me for the glory of Your kingdom. Lord, that Your will and Your way would be done in this house, oh God. That Your anointing would move and flow, that Your Spirit would speak into our hearts and our minds today, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. The Israelites had come to a place that they called out unto God. The flow, the Spirit of God had taken them from where they were and it had brought them to where they were in Egypt. They had been blessed for many years. They had obtained houses and some of them had obtained money and different things. And they'd grown so strong that the Egyptians had literally become afraid of them. It was the will of God for them to be in Egypt. It was the will of God that God took them there. It was the will of God that He placed Joseph in that place. And the Spirit led them to that place that God took them there, that He protected them and watched over them. And after a while, the Egyptians became afraid of them and they began to torment them and they turned them into slaves, into servants and put them to work. And it was at that moment in time that they began to cry out again. Sometimes in our lives when things are perfect, when things are great, when everything is the way that we need it to be, that it's easy just to relax and to go with the flow of what everybody else is doing and what everything else is going on. But in the midst of something, there's something inside that brings us to a place that says, I want to go deeper. I want to go to where it is that God wants me to go. There's something inside that says, I'm not satisfied with where I am. I'm not satisfied with what's going on in my life, but I need something more. I need something more of God. It was at that moment in time the Israelites begin to cry out, we've got to be saved. We've got to be released. We've got to have a Savior in this moment. It was at that moment that God spoke to Moses. It was at that moment that God found Moses out on the backside of nowhere at 80 years old tending a flock, and he saw a burning bush, and as he walked towards that bush, God told him to take his shoes off, and he began to speak into his life. He began to tell him that I've got more for you. I've got a place that I want to take you, that I've got a place that I want to lead you. I've got a flow for your life that is going to blow your mind. At one point in time, we knew that Moses felt like that he was there to help the Israelites, that he wouldn't even be called the son of Pharaoh anymore, and he would go down and he would watch the Israelites. He would be with the Israelites. And one day when one was being mistreated, he even killed an Egyptian for the Israelites. There was something inside of him that attached him to those people. He knew that those were his people. He knew that there was something inside of him that was calling him to a greater purpose. But there was something that happened, circumstances that came up, things that he might have even created by slaying that Egyptian soldier that caused him to pack his bags and to run for his life. And for the next 40 years, he watched another man's sheep. But it didn't matter where he was or what was going on. God still had a flow for his life. He still had a place that said, I've got something for you. I've got a blessing. I've got anointing. I've got purpose. I've got calling. That it didn't matter as God began to speak to him and said, this is what I'm going to do in your life. You can't do that in my life. I don't have it. I don't have what it takes. I'm unlearned. I don't have the words to say. And God told him, you don't understand. If you'll just get in the flow, I'll take care of everything else. God told him, I'll send you Aaron to be your mouthpiece. But when you find Aaron and Moses, you never read of Aaron ever saying one word in the presence of Pharaoh. There's something about it when you step into the flow that God gives you the confidence to stand on your own. There's something about it when you step into the flow of what God has for your life. As Moses stood in the presence of Pharaoh and told him everything that God wanted him to say. Just a few weeks earlier, he was a man that was afraid. But somebody that's living in the flow of where God wants them to be can stand in the presence of kings and queens and say, thus saith the Lord. There was something about it that got a hold of Moses. There was something about it that changed him because of his willingness to step into what it was that God had for his life. There's something about it when we step into what God desires for us. There's something about it that it gets a hold of us. There's something inside that draws us, that we were created with a hunger inside of us to want more of God. Our flesh fights it. This world fights it. Everything around us fights it. We fight it ourselves sometimes, but there's something inside that longs for something more. I see people that are miserable, that they know that they've got a call of God on their life, but they can't do it. The circumstances in life, things that have happened, places that have gone on, there's something that has happened, but there's still something inside. There's an emptiness. There's a part that feels like it's rotting away. There's a part that can only be fixed by the flow of what God has for our lives. Romans 8:13 says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. There's something about it as it moves and flows. There's something about it that the Spirit is, it's not just, well, I've arrived, I've found it. This is where the Spirit is. It's a moving, living organism. It's something that needs to be followed. It's something that we've got to be sensitive to. It's something that I've got to be hungry for. It's something that I've got to have a desire inside of me that I want to be close to God. I want to be where God wants me to be. I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to go with the flow of what God has for my life. It's not that big of a deal. I'm on this side of the boat. I'm in the boat. I know that I'm doing pretty much what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm a professional at this, and God says, but the flow is over here. This is where I need you. Just take 12 steps to the left. Just try a little harder. Just be a little bit more sensitive to my spirit. Just try to do what I've asked you to do. And there's something about the flow. You look at Israel as they wandered for 40 years. 40 years wandering. We say, I would never do that. That's crazy. Just wondering. 40 years of your life just walking in circles. 40 years of your life just wandering around, not going, knowing exactly where you're going. We're just wondering. We're just wandering in the wilderness because of decisions that were made in the past, because of things that others that had gone before me, the decisions that they had made. We'll just wonder because of them. They just wondering in the wilderness, waiting until they change, waiting until something's different, waiting until until there's something more. There was something about it. We say, I'd never wonder like that. But at the same time, we do the same thing in our own lives, that we just wonder. God's got a calling. He's got a flow. He's got a purpose. But we just kind of wander around it. We think we're in the boat. We're all right. But are we in the flow of what it is that God is wanting to do? And our relationship with God is just kind of a wondering. It's just kind of from here to there. It's just, if I hope to make it from one service to the next, if I hope to make it from one year to the next, it's just a wondering and a hope that everything's going to be all right. And God says, you don't understand. I didn't create you to just wonder. I didn't bring you out of Egypt to just wonder. I didn't bring you to the place that you are today to just be somebody that wanders aimlessly through the countryside. I've got a flow for your life. I've got a purpose for you. I've got something that only you can do. I've got something that is awesome and great for you. But in order for me to be in the flow, there's got to be a hunger. There's got to be something inside of me that longs for more of God. There's got to be something inside of me that's willing to change, that's willing to be different than what I am, that's willing to go the next step, to go the distance, to put down my pride or my stuff or my knowledge and my things, and to say, I'm willing to walk to the other side of the boat. If this is where you are, God, if this is really where it's happening, if this is really where you want me to be, even though it's only 12 steps away, I'm willing to move to that place. I'm willing to lay down my pride and my stuff and my wants to move to the place that you desire for me to be. Jesus looked at the disciples and he asked them, he says, who do men say that I am? Oh, they say you're a great prophet. They say you're Elias. And Jesus turned and he looked at him and he said, but whom do you say that I am? 12 men standing there, 12 men that had all experienced the same Jesus, 12 men that had all seen the same miracles, 12 men that had all been a part of the same events and heard the same sermons. And it was Peter that stepped forward and said, thou art the Son of the living God. And Jesus turned and looked at him and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. There was something different about him at that moment in time than the other 11, that there was a hunger inside of him to know who Jesus is. There was a hunger inside of him to know what it was that he was looking at and what was going on in his life. That there was something that was revealed to him and only him at that moment in time, because there was something inside that longed to have what Jesus had and longed to be close to Jesus and longed to do what God wanted him to do. He was a gruff man, an unlearned man, a man that knew what side of the boat he should be on, but he was a man that there was something inside that was hungry for more. That if you want me to go to the other side, if you want me to try something different, if you want me to change something, I'm willing to change what it is that you want me to do. He had an experience and a hunger for God that even when he got distracted, even when he looked at the young lady and cursed and lied about even knowing Jesus, there was still something inside of him that longed for Jesus. There was still something inside of him as he climbed back on that boat a second time, and he looked at the disciples and said, I'm going fishing. I'm going back to what I know is right. I'm going back to what I know that makes sense to me. And here he is on the boat one more time, fishing all night long, fishing all night long, doing what he knows to do all night long, showing up the way that he knows that he's supposed to show up, looking the way that he's supposed to look. And all of a sudden he looks out and he sees a man walking down the shore, and the man cries out and tells him, try the other side. I've been here before, and I'm willing to do it again. I've gone to deep places with God before, and I'm willing to cross over one more time. I've been in the flow before, and I've seen the blessings, and I've seen what God's done, and I'm willing to try it one more time. It was Peter that came to the revelation of that it was Jesus that was standing on the shore as he ran and dove off the boat and swam back towards Jesus. He couldn't wait for the boat to get there. There was something about it that Jesus came to him a second time as Jesus showed back up to the exact same place that he had found Peter the first time. I'm going back to my old life. I'm going back to the way things used to be. I thought that it was going to be one way. I thought that it was going to be like this. I thought that this was going to happen, and now it's all over. So I'm going back to the way that it used to be. And Jesus went back and found him at the exact same place he found him the first time. There's something powerful about the hunger of God that would draw Jesus back to the same old lost place that you were. But there was something that happened inside of Peter. There was a moment in time. There was something that, even though if he would waver, that there was a hunger inside of him that would bring him back to where it was that God wanted him to be. That there's something about the flow of God that you have. I want it. I desire it. I've got to be where Jesus wants me to be. As he preached on the day of Pentecost, he was in the flow and thousands received the gift of the Holy Ghost. As he preached at Cornelius' house, he was in the flow and they all received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. There was a door that was open to an entire new generation of people because that he was in the flow and being sensitive to the Spirit of God, and God could speak to him and he was involved. Even when James came and he left and they said that you need to go home and he went back to Jerusalem, he was voted out as the leader of the church. You don't read hardly anything else about Peter after that moment, but we find him again towards the end of his life in Rome, back in the flow, back to where God was calling him to be at the first time, back in a Gentile environment, reaching people that were not Jews, trying to start a church in the city of Rome. There was something that he encountered with Jesus that it didn't matter how far away he got or the decisions that he made, there was something inside that kept pulling him back to the flow. There was something inside that kept pulling him back to that place. I've tried other things, but it's not like being where I know I should be. I've been on this side of the boat, but I know that there's something more about being where it is that God really wants me to be. There's something about being in his Spirit. There's something about knowing that you're in the will of God. There's something about knowing that you're where you need to be and that God is doing what he wants to do in your life. There's got to be a hunger, though. There's got to be something inside that says, I want to be closer to him. I want to be more like him. I want to be more like Jesus. Somehow I want him to slap me upside the head. I want him to pick me up and set me over here. I want him to explain it all to me. I want a burning bush experience. I want all of this. I want these things. And all the while, God's saying, if you'll just hunger and thirst after me, I'll fill you. If you'll just find a hunger inside of you to long for me, I'll explain everything else. I'll teach you. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. I'll take you places that you never thought that you could ever go. I'll be a blessing to you. I'll let the flow take you to where you need to be. I don't know how to do that. God says, let me help you. I'll be there with you. I'll walk with you every step of the way. Moses says, I'll never be able to speak. And God says, if you'll let me get you in the flow, you'll never worry about needing a mouthpiece from anybody else, but you'll have the confidence and the boldness and the anointing to be able to stand and do whatever it is that I've called you to do. There's something powerful about being where God wants you to be. 40 years they wondered, but there was a promise that he had not let go of yet. There was a promise that he was holding on to. There was a promise that as everybody else wondered, as everybody else began to make their way, as everybody else wandered in the wilderness, there was something that one man held on to. There was something that he wasn't willing to let go of. There was something that he wasn't willing to walk away from. There was a promise that Joshua still had that he wasn't willing to give up on it yet. We've wondered for a little while. We've tried this way in that, and there came a day that Joshua grabbed hold of that promise. He stood in the face of everyone that was there, millions of people that had wandered their whole lives, and he began to say, God's got something more for us. We're going to march, we're going to pack, we're going to leave, we're going to have a revival, we're going to build, and we're going to overtake. We're going to have homes that we have not built and vineyards that we have not planted. That there's something that God has more for embarrass than to just wonder. They begin to pack their bags with no idea of what their future was going to be. They begin to get their things together with no idea of what really was on the other side of Jordan. They knew that there was armies. They knew that there were giants. They knew that there were walls that you could ride chariots on. But there was something inside of them that said, I am tired of wondering. I am tired of just walking in circles. I don't know exactly what I'm going to face on the other side, but I'm going to face it. I know that God's going to be with me. I know that God is going to walk with me and carry me and keep me. Sometimes being in the flow is scary. Sometimes stepping out into the water is a little bit nerve-wracking. I know what I have over here. I know what is going on. This is what I've always done. This is what I've always got. And sometimes stepping out into faith is something scary. It's something that you wonder what was going on, what is happening. How am I going to do this? How am I going to survive? But when you've wondered long enough, when something inside of you is hungry enough that says, I don't care what I face tomorrow. I don't care what happens when I step out of this boat. I don't care what kind of giants I'm going to face on the other side. I don't care what kind of fight that it might be that comes my way. I want to be where God has promised me. I want to be right smack dab in the middle of God's will. I want His anointing and His purpose and His place on my life. Scripture says, as the priests begin to make their journey, as they stepped into the water. We're talking about the Jordan River. It's one of the fastest flowing rivers for its size in the world. It starts at 9,000 feet above sea level and it ends in the Dead Sea, which is 1,400 feet below sea level. It is one of the fastest flowing rivers. It's 50 to 75 feet wide and they're there in the rainy seasons. This isn't even a good time to cross. We've got women and children. We've got families. We've got flocks. How are we going to cross? And God just said, if you'll step into the flow, if you'll just begin to move towards me, if you'll just step out by faith, I'll take care of everything else. There's got to be something inside that says, I'm hungry for something more. I'm hungry for a change. I'm hungry for something different in my life. I'm hungry for revival inside of my soul, inside of my spirit. There's got to be something more out there than what I've got wandering in circles. And they stepped into the flow. And God took care of everything else. Talked about John Mark a few weeks ago. John Mark came to Peter and Paul and came to Paul and Barnabas and said, I want to go with you. He went with him. And in just a few days, he packed his bags and he went back home. He came back and wanted to travel with Paul again, and the fight was so fierce that Paul and Barnabas split ways, and Paul took Silas and Barnabas took John Mark. Paul wouldn't have anything to do with John Mark. John Mark, it didn't matter that nobody wanted him. It didn't matter that Paul had rejected him. There was something inside of him that he'd experienced, that he'd walked away from. There was a flow that he'd tapped into that was a part of something that was more awesome than what he could have just sitting at home doing what he'd been doing. There was something there that God was calling him to. There was a purpose. There was something greater than where he'd been living, and he couldn't resist it. He couldn't stop it anymore. There was a hunger inside of him to be what God wanted him to be. We find that as he kept pushing and he kept pushing and he kept pushing and he kept pushing, that Paul finally writes, and bring me John Mark, for he is profitable unto the kingdom of God. It was John Mark that wrote the book of Mark. It was John Mark that found something inside of him that was so hungry that he said that I can't just stay where I am, but I've got to push beyond. I've got to be where God wants me to be. I've got to get into the flow of what it is that God wants for my life. You read the story in the book of Mark of a young man that was there in the Garden of Gethsemane. There was a young man that was there. He wasn't a part of the disciples. He wasn't a part of everybody else. It is believed that it was this young man that was John Mark. They believe that the Passover was what happened that night as Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, that it was in John Mark's mother's home. That's where they would meet. That was a safe place for them. I imagine imagine that's where Judas went first with his band of men as he walked through the streets as they made their way back to John Mark's house. They banged on the door as John looked through a window from the side as he was already in bed. It was late at night. The Passover was over, and he saw Judas standing there with armed guards as he patted the purse that was in his pocket, and something inside of him must have caused him to spring from his bed as he took nothing but a linen blanket with him, the scripture says. And this young man must have ran to the Garden of Gethsemane as he made his way to where Jesus and the disciples were. I've got to warn them. I've got to tell them. He must have felt like they needed to know that they needed to be informed that Judas was on his way, that Judas had betrayed him, that there was an army coming for Jesus. As he ran through the garden, he sees the disciples as they slept, but he heard a voice in the distance crying out. As he began to run towards that voice, he comes across more disciples that are sound asleep, and there he looks, but he still hears the voice as he scampers through the bushes into the distance to where that voice is. As he hears a voice that cries out, "Not my will, but thy will be done. Let this cup pass from me, but if this is what you want me to go through, if this is the flow, then I want to be a part of whatever it is that you desire for my life." It must have so impacted him that night as when the disciples had ran and flee, they said there was a young man that came forward and they attacked him. He literally ran naked through the woods after they chased after him. It's the only place in the Bible that this story is mentioned about a young man that was there in the garden, and they believe that it was Mark because he wrote the book. As a young man, he experienced something that got a hold of his spirit. As a young man, he heard the cries of Jesus as great drops of blood came down his face. As a young man, there was something that happened inside of him that even when he was willing to walk away, there was something inside that still longed. There was an experience that happened inside of him that he couldn't get away from. There was a moment in time in his life when Jesus was there and he experienced him for the very first time like he had never experienced him before, and it was something that he could never, ever get away from. It was something inside of him that even when he had walked away, even when he went to look for something easier, even when he had quit his ministry and he decided that he was just going to take it easy, even when I'm not going to backslide, I'm just going to take it easy for a while, there was something inside of him that screamed, "I've got to be in the flow. I've got to be where God wants me to be. I've got to be where God desires for me to be." And Paul says, "You can't come with us. It doesn't matter. It's not going to change my what I'm going to do." You've been rejected by the man of God in your life. It doesn't matter. It's not going to change what I'm going to do. I had an experience in my life that I can't get away from. I've tried different things. I've tried other stuff. But there's something inside of me that longs to be near him. There are some people in this room this morning that there's a hunger inside of you that God is stirring up. There's some people in this room today that you've experienced, you've been in the flow, but you felt like it's been a while and I don't know if I can ever get back to that place. There are people in this room that you've tasted and you've seen, you've been a part of something awesome, you've been a part of something that God was doing, and now you step back and you wonder if it's ever going to be like that again, and God is calling to you this morning. He's reaching for some people in this room that there's something inside of you that says, "I want to be in the flow. I want to be where God wants me to be. I'm not satisfied just wondering. I'm not satisfied watching somebody else be a part of the kingdom. I'm not satisfied with just watching others do things. I want to be a part of it myself." Joshua, what are you doing? "I've wondered too long. There's something more out there, and today, for me and my house, we're going to do everything we can to be in the flow, to be where God wants me to be, to do what God wants me to do." Peter, it's not that big of a deal. It's only 12 feet from one side of the boat to the other. It's just a small little vessel. It's not that big of a deal, but you don't understand. I've been in the flow before.
and I want to be in it one more time. Lord Jesus, God, this church is full of hungry people. People that want more of you. People that are not satisfied with just the status quo, not satisfied with just wandering, not satisfied with just being in the port of the ship that they're most comfortable in. But God, we want to be in the flow of what you want to do in our lives. God, I want your spirit. There would be something inside that would begin to stir and be to say, God, whatever it takes, whatever I've got to do, whatever I need to do to get back in your flow, God, whatever it is that I've got to lay down, whatever it is that I've got to walk away from, whatever it is that I've got to say no to, whatever relationship that I've got to sever, whatever kind of things I've got to turn off, God, I want to be in your flow. What are y'all doing? You can't cross that river. It's too fast. It's too much. You don't understand. I'm not satisfied with where I am. I've got to be in the flow. There are giants over there. It doesn't matter. I've got to be in the flow. There are walled cities over there with warriors that know how to fight. It doesn't matter. I want to be close to Jesus. I want his will in my life. These altars are open this morning. Is there anybody in this place that says, I feel like I might have been wandering. I feel like I've been walking in circles. I've just been coming back to the same old thing. But today, I want to break free. I want to step into the river. I'm not satisfied with just to my ankles or to my knees or to my legs. I want to go to the deep places that God has for my life and my family and my church. I want to go to the places that I may not understand. It may be fearful. I may not know what's on the other side. I may not know how deep it is, but I want to be in his flow. As they begin to sing this morning, these altars are open. There are some people in this room that God's dealing with you about something more, about going to a deeper place, going to a place that is more commitment, going to a place that others may not go, going to a place that's deeper than where you've ever been. Oh, I'll go this far. It's to my knees. I'll go this far. I've still got control of what's going on, but no, I'm not interested. I want to go to the deep places. I want to be a part of the flow of what God has for my life. God, I'm hungry for you today, Jesus. God, I've experienced it before. Oh, I've felt your presence. I've felt the call. I've been in prayer meetings. I've experienced services. God, I want to go back to that place. I want to drink from that well. I want to swim, oh God, in that river, Lord Jesus. I can't go back to that place. I can't go there. It's been too long. Jesus showed back up to where he found Peter the first time and said, hey, I'm still here. I still want to take you to the deep places. I still want to use you for the glory of my kingdom. I've still got great purpose and anointing for your life. Let him step into your life a second time this morning. Let him step into your world one more time. Let him step back into remind you of those places today, those places that something deep inside longs for, that it experienced it a long time ago, but something there that says I can't walk away. I can't quit. I can't backslide. I've got to be in it. I've got to be what God wants me.
Let me walk on the water wherever you would call.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without more.
God's calling us to deeper places. We're not going to have the revival that He's promised this church by just showing up. It's going to be because there's some people that have desired something more, something deeper, something bigger, something more awesome than what they have right now. And they're willing to say, God, whatever it takes for me to get in the flow, whatever it takes for me to become what it is that you want me to be. You look at some of these casinos that are around. It started with boats that went up and down the rivers, and then they tied them off on the sides of the river, and now they've just kind of, they're not even sea-dwelling vessels anymore. They just look like boats. And if we're not careful, we can be so locked down to where we are and what we're doing and so unmoved that we're not even to a place anymore where we can even be a seaworthy vessel to go out and to move and to flow where it is God wants us to be. Somewhere along the way, I've got to cut cords. I've got to push off. Say, God, I may not know where you're taking me. I may not know what happens next. I may not know what's going to happen. But God, I want to be with you. And I want to be in your flow. In Jesus' name. And it's going to happen. Because we're going to do it. We're going to do it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know what God's promised me. I know what God's promised me. I know where we're going. I know what God wants to do in this city. And it's going to happen in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Remember our gift bag, boxes, shoe boxes. Remember tonight, 6 o'clock, we're going to be having game night. I talked trash about Domino's last time, and then I got ran. Brother Hollinshead showed up, and you don't play with a Navy man, Domino's. He knew what I had in my hand before I ever put him down. I'm glad we didn't put any money on it. It was sad. But we'll be playing games tonight and having a great time around here. And also your Christmas banquet tickets, December the 7th, Sunday night. We're going to be going to the Cajun Cafe. The tickets are $20 a piece. And so you say, well, that's a lot of money. Well, that's not all of it. We're covering some of it for you because we didn't want to charge y'all what they want to charge us. And so that's a discounted rate. And I know, but we're going to be having a great time. We're going to the Cajun Cafe. We're going to be having a lot of fun. We're going to have child care here, and we're going to have a blast Sunday night on December the 7th. And December the 14th, we've got going to have the parade. We're going to do a church float. December the 13th, December the 14th, we're going to be in revival with Victor Jackson. So we got a lot going on around here. And so in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord bless. Y'all have a wonderful afternoon. And we'll see you tonight in Jesus' name.